Good morning, everyone. Ross, thank you. Worship team, thank you so much for an inspiring time of worship. Let us just pray together before we go to God's word this morning. Lord, we thank you for, as Ross said, Lord, it's just a time to stand before you, acknowledging that the very breath that we have is what you have given us. You have given us life. And this morning again, Lord, we want to acknowledge and say again, Lord, that only in you, Jesus Christ, do we have life. Thank you so much for the amazing work that you've done on the cross for us. And this morning, Lord, we will come and celebrate and be reminded of that again as we take communion together. Lord, we need you. We need you in our lives. And I pray this morning as we go into, it will not be me teaching, but you through your Spirit that will make those seeds that are sown grow and bear fruit. And may your name be glorified through this, Jesus. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, yeah, for those who have been away for holidays and so on, welcome back. We're still on our theme of Jesus calling us to follow him so that he can make us fishers of men. And next week is my last Sunday here with you, so I'm going to try today and tomorrow maybe to move a little bit towards more the practical side of that call of Jesus on our lives. What does it mean for us to be fishers of men? So last week we started looking at that already when we talked about being salt and light. And today I do pray and hope that what we learn from the story of Paul and Timothy will inspire each one of us as well in the way that we are fishers of men and the way that we are salt and light in our world and in our communities. So just a little bit of background to help us just get into this text. For most young Jewish boys and girls, most of them started very early in their lives to study Scripture. That was high priority for every young Jewish boy and girl. And they say that by the time that they get to their coming of age ritual, you know, the bar mitzvah for the boys and the bat mitzvah for the girls, around the age of 12, 13. By the time they get to this age, most of their scriptures, which is the Old Testament. It's amazing at the age of 13 to have memorized our whole Old Testament in some ways. But you know, one of the amazing things for me about this process that these young boys and girls would go through was not so much just the fact that they memorized Scripture. That is important. I think all of us need to focus more on memorizing Scripture, knowing Scripture. But the amazing thing for me that stands out is that their focus was not so much on just memorizing, but it was about understanding Scripture and being able to interpret and to reason and to apply it in their daily lives. That's why many of them studied under a rabbi or a teacher to help them to understand how to apply Scripture to life. And I think we sometimes miss that in our own lives. We may know Scripture, we know what the Bible teaches, but do we really know how to interpret Scripture in our lives? For the young Jewish boys and girls, it was a practical affair. Scripture wasn't just something that was a holy book, but it was a practical book that God has given us to live our lives daily. For instance, learn that the Bible says you have to honor your father and your mother. For many of us, we will stop there and say, yes, that's what the Bible teaches. But for young Jewish boys and girls, they would then go further and say, okay, what does it mean? You know, if I, for instance, get mad with my dad, does that mean I'm not honoring him? And they will ask questions. If I lie to my mom about something, does that mean I'm not honoring them? So they would think through Scriptures and really try and apply it to everyday life. And I think that is why it was so important for them that they live righteous lives. We spoke about it over the last weeks, that Scripture was the thing that helped them to live righteously. In other words, to walk in God's ways. I mentioned earlier about the rabbi or the teacher. So the rabbi or the teacher in their communities was someone who would help them in this reasoning, would help them in the way that they think through Scripture, how they interpret it, how they make it very practical in their lives. So many times what would happen is that when a teacher or a rabbi has a group of young disciples that would follow him, his interpretation and his reasoning, the way that he thought about Scripture, come for his disciples the way that they adopt and the way that they live out Scripture. So for them it was important to learn from a rabbi. We see it in Scripture, even with Paul, speaks about what he has learned from his rabbis. And that was important, this kind of carrying over, not just of knowledge, but of a lifestyle that would be in line with what God taught in Scripture. That's why for many young disciples, you know, at the age of 13 and onwards, when many of them started following a specific rabbi, a known rabbi, it was their life mission, as someone said, to commit themselves wholeheartedly to their rabbi, to the teachings of their rabbi. And they would trust him and the way that he interprets Scripture in every aspect of life. So they would give themselves to him, and he would teach them how to live Scripture daily. And ultimately, for them, their life goal was to become like their rabbi in knowledge and in wisdom and in ethical behavior. I think I shared it here at one stage before, a couple of months ago. So for Jesus' disciples, when he called them and he said to them, come and follow me, it was that kind of relationship. For the disciples that Jesus, each one of us, but for them it was a very practical thing of walking with Jesus, experiencing life with Jesus, asking Jesus questions about how does he interpret Scripture, how would he live out Scripture daily. So as they walked with Jesus, they saw the way that Jesus, as their teacher and their rabbi, lived out the Word of God. And I'm thinking, yo, that must have been so powerful to experience Jesus in that way. Because they didn't only experience Jesus' teachings, because Jesus also made it very practical. Last week, we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus spoke about very practical things in life. In other words, giving them his interpretation of how Scripture needs to be lived out. But then we can ask the question, well, Jesus is no longer with us physically anymore. So what does it mean for us? We cannot just walk with Jesus like his disciples did. Yes, we know Jesus is present through his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. So how does it look like for us today? When Jesus calls us to follow him, what does it look like for us? How do we walk with Jesus? I think we learn a very good lesson from Paul when he writes to Timothy in the book of Timothy 2:17. And I'm going to read for us this morning, and you can follow with me from verse 10 onwards, where Paul speaks to Timothy. You see, Timothy was one of Paul's disciples. So when Timothy looked at Paul, he would have looked at Paul as his teacher, as his rabbi in some ways, the one who helped him to understand Scriptures and what it means to follow Jesus. And then Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 10. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my sufferings the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, and he speaks now to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned. You have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In other words, for training in God's ways. So that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Friends, I think from this scripture we can learn a lot about what it meant for Timothy to be a disciple. Because he was a disciple of Paul. What did it mean for Timothy to be a disciple of Paul? But also, what did this discipleship, this process that he was in, how did it shape him so that he could in turn be a discipler of others? Because Timothy played a very big role in the early church, also discipling and growing others. And there's a couple of things that we learn from this piece of scripture that I just want us to stand still at today. And the first thing that we learn in that scripture was that Timothy knew the people that he learned scriptures from. And he learned it from a very, very early age, from childhood. He knew who he learned it from. And he, right there in the beginning of this text, Paul comes and he speaks to Timothy and he reminds Timothy of the role that he played in his life as being his mentor or his teacher or his rabbi or a father to him or the one who discipled him. And Paul writes to him, he says, you, Timothy, he says, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you know what I stood for. You have not just heard the teaching that I've given you, but you've seen it in my life. And I was reading through this and I was thinking to myself, how many of us can go to those that we disciple with this kind of boldness and assurance that our lives complemented what our words was to our disciples? Paul comes to Timothy and says, Timothy, you didn't just hear what I'm saying, but you experienced it. You've seen it. You've seen the way that I lived and I followed Jesus. And it reminds me where God says to us in Scripture that we must not just be hearers of Scripture, but we must be imitators of Scripture. And friends, this is people who disciple others. We need to embrace this. That teaching others, discipling others, doesn't just mean bringing them into a course at church that they can sit and listen to a teacher for 2 or 3 weeks. This is a lifestyle commitment, something that we need to live as we disciple others. Paul was an example for us in that, but he did it because Jesus was his example, the way that Jesus taught his disciples. Friends, this is credible discipleship, living what we're saying, walking the talk. The other thing that I learned from this, and this is amazing, that in Timothy's life, Timothy started at a very young age to become a disciple. He was discipled by others. And we learn here that this is a journey. This is something that can sometimes take our whole lives. Many times for us, discipleship is attending a course, as I said. But when we read Scripture, we see that discipleship is a lifelong commitment. It's something that all of us need to go through. And when I read this, friends, I realize that we have a duty as parents and as grandparents towards the younger ones or those who are still growing, as believers of Christ, to disciple our young people, our children, from a very young age. Don't wait till it's too late. Start at a young age and focus on their lives. It's our duty, especially with young people who are today bombarded with all sorts of philosophies and worldviews that are standing 100% against what we believe as followers of Jesus. Friends, discipling our young people and our children is not the job of the church or the Sunday school teacher or the youth pastor. When we read this, discipleship is each one of our responsibility. We have to take time to do this. And when I read here from Timothy and Paul's story, I realize that discipleship is not just about teaching our kids a few memory verses and help them to be able to recite the Bible books in the right, correct order. Discipleship is about living our faith, helping our kids to understand how Scripture is practically lived out every day of their lives. We need to do that, friends. We need to take time with our kids, with our grandchildren, make time with them, do things with them. When they go to the movies, whether they like it or not, go with them. Go watch the movies with them because of conversation. Even if it's the worst movie you've seen in your life, make it an opportunity to have conversation. Talk about it. Help them to understand what we feel about life and how we live it. A beautiful passage in Scripture that helps us understand that comes from Deuteronomy 6. Terry, I think you read it 2 weeks ago or so at the dedication of one of the babies. Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is the Shema, which is that very well-known piece of Scripture that every Jewish person recites almost on a daily basis. And it says the following: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I've given you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands," in other words, in the things that you do. "Bind them on your foreheads, in your mind and your thoughts. Write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates." In other words, when we come into our house, we need to live Scripture. When we go out of our house, we need to live Scripture. When we're in the marketplace, in the city gates, let us live Scripture. This is such an inspiration for us to realize that discipleship is about living our lives with Jesus, walking with Jesus. For us as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as friends of others, whoever we are, I think this Scripture challenges us that our friends and our children especially needs to understand and see how we as believers do the practical things in life. When we're at home, our kids need to see how we deal with things as moms and dads. They need to understand and see how we deal with things like conflict, with sadness, with trauma, with loss, with gain, how we celebrate things. What are the things in life that we depend upon? Is it money or is it God? Is it our systems? Is it our setup in our house that we lean on, or is it God? They need to understand how we make decisions. They need to understand what role finance play in our lives and how we deal with it. In other words, our kids need to learn from us what are the values that we live as believers. One commentator writes the following. He says, "The character of teachers is taught. And since Timothy knew well the integrity, not only of the Apostle Paul, but also his own mother and grandmother, and others who had helped him arrive at his understanding of Christian truth, he may rest assured that he has not himself been deceived." Isn't that amazing? Timothy knew the people that taught him. And because what they taught him aligned with what he saw in their lives, Timothy could stand on a strong foundation to know that he has not been deceived. The second thing that we learn, and this is a short point, is that Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, studying Scripture When we study Scripture, we need to know and understand that there's purpose in studying Scripture. Studying Scripture is not just there for us to read through the Bible. Or sometimes, you know, see, like, people will put the Bible open in their house like it was going to protect them. Or people do all sorts of funny things with Scripture. Or sometimes we end up in this thing that we read through Scripture, but nothing really happens. We just do this for no purpose. And we need to understand what we learn here from Paul is that Scripture has one end in mind. And that is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you've given your life to Christ, or whether you're sitting and talking with your child through Scripture, or whether you're dealing Scripture with a friend. Scripture has that one aim in mind. As Paul said to him, that you will have wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let us use Scripture, friends. When we're talking with our friends, when we're at our workplaces, let our aim when we use Scripture always be that our desire will be for our friends and our children to come to that salvation in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, this book has no value for us. The value of this book is the fact that it leads us onto God's ways so that we can be in a living relationship with Him. Then the last thing that we learn here from Paul is that all Scripture is inspired or breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All Scripture is inspired, breathed by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Friends, I think that's important for us to know, that when we deal with Scripture, when we live Scripture, when we read Scripture, we must know that when we read Scripture, this is God speaking to us. So many people today in today's world will say to us, this is just an account of man about what they experienced. But when we understand this piece of Scripture here, it teaches us this is not the words of man. It may have been Paul who wrote down some of these things. It may have been Moses, it may have been David who wrote some of these things. But what Paul is saying to Timothy is, Timothy, these are God's words. So when we read Scripture, when we deal with Scripture, we can know that this comes from God. But when I read through this in the week, someone wrote something very interesting about this, because he said that this was not the point that Paul wanted to make to Timothy. Because for most of the young Jewish boys and girls, they would have known this is God's word because they learned it from very small. So why did Paul say to Timothy, these are God's inspired words? And a commentator writes it like this. He says, Timothy is not therefore being informed of the inspiration of Scripture, for this was a doctrine commonly admitted by Jews. But he is being reminded that the basis of it is of its profitableness lies in its inspired character. In other words, friends, when we need advice for life, when we need answers to questions in life, when we're sitting in a difficult situation in life, when we need wisdom, this is where we need to turn to. Not because these are great words, but because these are inspired words by God. And I think Paul wanted to lay this again before Timothy and said, Timothy, you need nothing more than this Scripture. This is what you need. This is what your guide in life is. This is God speaking to you. And then Paul goes on and explains those four things that this Scripture helps us with in life. And commentators look at those four things, and they are the teaching, the reproof, the correction, and the trained way. Some of them will say that those first two things, the teaching and the reproof, is Scripture helping us with our doctrine. In other words, what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, and where we fit into things. So there's a positive and a negative side. So your teaching side, Scripture teaches us, in other words, the positive input in our lives. When we read Scripture, it's God teaching us. But it says there's also a negative side, for us at least, that Scripture also plays a role that it reproves or rebukes. For those things that are pushing us off God's way, pushing us off that target that we need to hit in our lives, Scripture is there to also reprove and help us back. And then they say the second two things, the fact that it corrects and trains, is there to help us in our ethical life. In other words, the practical living out of our daily lives. It corrects us, in other words, a little bit again like reproof. When we deviate from God's way, Scripture, God's word, is there for us to help us back, to correct us and get us back on track. And then there's the positive side that it trains us. It helps us to get stronger and know more and live better. Piper writes about this and he says, when he looks at these four things, he says, for him the focus is that Scripture is there for teaching. He says, for him that is what this is all about. He says, in the latter three things, the reproof and the correcting and the training, all has to do with teaching. And he says it in a beautiful way. He says, Scripture teaches by reproof. In other words, when someone deviates from God's way, when someone ends up on that slippery road that we talked about a few weeks ago, and you deviate from God's way, Scripture teaches us and reprove by through reproof and rebuke. In other words, it helps us. It helps us know what the things are that is pushing us away from our relationship with God. And then he goes further to say that Scripture also teaches by correcting. In other words, Scripture do not only tell us what's going wrong in our lives, but Scripture also helps us what to do to align our lives again with the ways of God. In other words, it helps and corrects us. And then the last thing he says, that Scripture teaches by training. God's desire for each one of us is that we will not constantly slip off the way, that we will be on this path and stay on this path. Friends, and then Paul closes off this section and he says, the desired outcome of all of this, Timothy, is righteousness, there in verse 16 and 17, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Friends, I hope that this piece of Scripture inspires us to make Scripture more than just a book that we read, to make Scripture more than just verses that we memorize, to make Scripture more than just something that we go to every now and then when we get time. But what Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, look at my life. Look at my life and live your life in the way that I've lived mine. That every aspect of your life must be soaked in the Word of God. And he says, Timothy, if you live your life like that, you will be able to disciple others in the way that I have discipled you, in the way that your mom discipled you, in the way that your granny discipled you. Live your life soaked up completely into Scripture so that you can walk it. Jesus, it's our desire to really learn from you as you teach us, as you help us to understand how we need to live our lives in your presence. Jesus, thank you that you've given us your Spirit to help us in this journey. That journey where Scripture teaches us by reproof. That journey where your Scripture, your Word, teaches us by correcting us, helping us constantly back on the road of righteousness. Thank you also that your scripture, your word, teach us by training us so that we can live our lives in the way that you desire for us to live. This morning, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in everything that they do. Lord, that their lives will become like the life of Paul, like the life of Jesus. Lord Jesus, when you journeyed with your disciples, that we will make time for our children first of all, that we'll spend time with them to teach them, but also for them to interact and see the way that we live. But I also pray that in our workplace, with our friends, at our sports clubs, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, that we will live our lives in such a way that we can go like Paul did with confidence to those that we are discipling and that we're journeying with, to say, look at my life. Learn from the way that I have lived my life in the ways of God. Wow, Lord, this is difficult. This is so difficult and a real challenge. That we will not opt for the easy discipleship route of just sending people to a course, but that we will embrace the responsibility to walk with Jesus, but on this journey, to invite others to walk with us so that they can see and taste and feel and experience what it means to follow Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so I can maybe ask those who are helping us this morning at the table.